Tasting. Okay. Great. I remember one time on a Sunday night, there was this lady, she was going to get up to sing, and she had really, I mean, she was really going to give us a good special. And she went to the area where the specials are sung, and she's standing there. She looks over at the pianist, and the pianist gives her an intro. She waited again. You ever had that happen to you, Mrs. Young? So, like, they want another intro, you know? Like, right. So Clint's sitting on the second row. And, like, he's waited long enough, you know what I'm saying? And so she looks over at the pianist again. Instead of trying to get on time here. So finally Clint just says, remember, Clint was born with Down syndrome. And sometimes he says things that I will not take any kind of credit for. And he says, not in a still small voice, because he's likes to always mimic his father. He said, "Hit it, Hot Lips." And I went, did he just say what I think he heard? What I heard? And the lady went, "Oh yeah, oh Clint, he's the man. He is the man. He is the man." We were walking in the mall the other day. This is about 3 weeks ago, and everybody guys walking around, and their pants are slung way down. Okay, way down. And they're like walking, and Clint looks over him and said, "That's disgusting." And one guy looked over at him. Then he looked over at me, and then Clint looked back at him, and Clint went just like this. Like, yeah, you want to do something about what I just said? Yeah. The guy just looked at him and kept on walking. I said, "Clint, you can't talk to people like that. I mean, you're going to get in trouble. You talk to people like that. Dad, that's disgusting. When you see people's underwear, it's disgusting." How many agree with you, huh? Yeah, and I think these were dirty. But anyway, it's disgusting. It's bad. All right. How many junior high guys brought more than one pair of underwear? Good. All right. Great. All right. I didn't look to see you brought. This isn't an invitation. This is not an invitation. This is not an invitation. John, where's David at? He's not sitting by you anymore. Where's David? David, get over here, man. You're messing me up. Get over here and sit by John. I got to have you guys sitting by each other. Come on, get over here, man. Come on, sit over here. Hey, man. Hey. Hit the rock, buddy. Hey, wait. Park the car, buddy. Way to go. All right, let's all stand. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10. If you're having problems finding 2 Kings chapter 10, it's in the Old Testament. Just kind of pretend like you're there, all right? 2 Kings chapter 10. Starting in verse number 16. Just in case you want to know, yes, Pastor Tyson and I are beating our wives in a rook. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 16 and 17. And he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they made him to ride in his chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria, till he had destroyed them according to the sayings of the Lord which he spoke to Elijah. Notice verse number 31. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with, everyone read it, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. One more time, let's look at it again. You've got the three words you need to say. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with For he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. Verse number 16, Jehu says, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. And he got in a chariot. Actually, the Bible says, so they made him ride in his chariot. And I can just see old Jehu. He's got his sword in his hand, maybe double swords. He's just whacking these guys. He's just knocking them off one after another. I mean, you can picture it. You can picture it. This guy is a warrior. And then when all the blood is shed, or when everybody is dead that need to be dead, then his job was over as far as he was concerned. He had done what he needed to do. And then the Bible says in verse number 31, he did not continue to follow the Lord with all his heart. Father, I pray now that you'd speak to our hearts from your word this evening. Thank you again for the opportunity we have to be together at camp. Thank you for this good opportunity we have to learn more of your word. And Father, to become more dedicated Christians for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord of God of Israel with all his heart. For he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. After his elevation to the throne, he took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord with all his heart. Once seated on the throne, with no more blood to be shed, he became indifferent to God. Indifferent to God. We can become indifferent to God because of pride. Jehu did. Because of popularity, he let them continue to worship the idols and the images because he wanted to be a popular king. Because of the position he now had as a king, because of his possessions. But he thought, maybe this is politically prudent for me, this is election year, politically prudent for me to let the people do what they want to do. I'll just let them do that. And so he did not interfere with the worship of Jeroboam. So though he knew it was wrong, he refrained from interfering with it. And the word of God says in verse number 31, but Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord, God of Israel, with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. Now, the sad part about it is he was punished as a result of that. If you go back to chapter 8, look at verse number 12. Chapter 8, verse number 12, we see a prophecy concerning him. And we see that his children, as you read that prophecy, you'll see, and Hazael said, why weepeth my Lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel, their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with a sword, and will dash their children and rip up their women with child. This will all take place. Why? Because of Jehu and his sin. And as we look at this portion of Scripture, we see some great parallels and principles for everyone trying to live the good Christian life. It's something we need to pay attention to. Tonight, I want you to think about it. I'm talking to young people that go to Sunday school. How many of you go to Sunday school? Let me see your hands. I mean, you go to Sunday school. I hardly ever miss Sunday school. How many go to youth group? How many go to youth group? How many work in some kind of children's program in your church? How many go out calling your church? How many go out calling your church? How many have been passing off flyers, maybe for a new work or something of that sort? Sure, I'm talking to you folks. You say, well, hey, listen, we're pretty good. We're doing what's right. You know, you can become indifferent to the things of the Lord. You can become indifferent. You can fall. You can fall to that temptation. And you need to recognize that the Word of God tells us we need to wholeheartedly be involved in the work of God. The Bible says in Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. He wasn't wholeheartedly committed to God. He was wholeheartedly committed to looking good before the people. He looked good in that chariot. He looked good wielding those swords. He looked good killing all Ahab's soldiers. He looked good. And when he got through doing what he wanted to do, what really helped him get position on the throne, what really helped him become popular, then he failed to heed the law of the Lord with all his heart. Wholeheartedness. Notice, first of all, the commitment. Come with me and see my zeal. I love people that are energized for the Lord. I love it. I've always appreciated wholehearted involvement. Now, I'm going to ask you a question right now, and you answer me. When I'm done with the question, I'll go, okay, answer. Who's got the greatest team here at camp this week? All right, wait. Try one more time. Who's got the greatest team here at camp this week? All right. I think I heard that over there. What'd you say? Oh, okay. What team are you on, Mr. Ukraine? What team are you on? What team? Expedition. Is that the red team? Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. The Bible has a lot to say about wholehearted commitment. We need more young people that are wholeheartedly committed to the things of God. We need young people that are loyal to the Lord, that love the Lord with all their hearts, and are committed to the things of the Lord. As we read through the Bible, we find, for instance, we need to be committed to our Bibles. Amen? Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 in verses 10 and 11. Psalm 119 verses 10 and 11. And the Bible says in Psalm 119 verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, with my whole heart. How much of my heart, everyone?
All.
How much?
All.
Is that part?
No.
That's how much?
All.
Tell the person next to you.
All.
Tell the person on the other side.
All.
Whole. The whole heart. The Bible says, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. You know, I've talked to young people after they've been to camp for a while. Normally, it's around school time. So we have school chapel. So now, go to school chapel and I'll preach maybe the first week, second week, and then I'll call some young people over and I'll say, how you doing? They said, we're doing all right, Pastor. I mean, how you doing? Are you reading your Bible like you read your Bible when you went to camp? Well, no. How come? Well, you know, time constraints. I don't know. I get up a little later now and, you know, there's other things. And, oh, why did you do so good reading your Bible when you were at camp? Because everybody read their Bible when we were at camp. Everybody memorized the Word of God when we were at camp. We had devotions. We seemed like we were in chapel every other hour. I mean, we love the Bible. Huh? You know, what happens? We get sidetracked. And not doing what we should do. We lose our commitment. We deceive ourselves, dialogue with ourselves, and recognize in ourselves that maybe we don't have time to read the Bible. Let's experiment for just a moment. We see right here, that guy right there. He's a sharp guy right there. Yeah, no, not you. Come on. This guy right here. You're a sharp guy too. Right there. Come on up here, pal. You got your Bible? You got your Bible? Okay. Ready? All right. I need somebody with a stopwatch. Who's got a stopwatch? Anybody got a stopwatch? Ukraine, you got one. Where's it from? Where's it from? Where's your stopwatch from? Burlington? Burlington factory? Like the coat factory? Yeah. Okay, good. All right, you got a stopwatch? All right, ready? I want you to give me 1 minute, all right? All right, come on up here, man. Let's go. Give me this mic right here. Give me this mic. You got this mic? All right, give me this mic right here. All right, are you nervous? Are you? You shouldn't be nervous. You look good. You're a handsome guy, sharp guy. Take your Bible. Turn to John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John, Matthew, Mark, John 1. All right, John 1. All right, ready? Like, have you had freshman speech yet in college? No, okay, that's all right. All right, start reading. John chapter 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Very good. Thank you. And applause for this guy. All right. How many verses you got? Is that 13? 13 verses in 1 minute. Huh? 13. Huh? 13 verses in 1 minute. How many have a minute where you can read your Bibles? Huh? Hey, really? How many a minute? Oh, 13 verses in 1 minute. How many could you do? Like, that means 39 in 3 minutes? Maybe. Right? What's your name? Grant, nice to meet you. Where are you from?
Fort Collins.
Fort Collins? Hey, man, let me give you $5. I need you $5. Somebody says, like, where do you get this money to give to these young people? Yeah, you can. Go find me a Diet Coke, I'll give you $5. Okay. Go find me a Diet Coke, I'll give you $5. Yeah, right now. I need a cold Diet Coke. $5. All right, now. Somebody says, where do you get this money? It's not my money. It's my children's money. It's their inheritance. I'm giving it away. All right, now. Doesn't take long to read the Bible, does it? Tell the person next to you. You hear that? That guy read 13 verses in 1 minute. Go tell the person, huh? Hey, wait. I don't think he's going to be valedictorian. Do you get all A's? He's homeschooled? Well, you should get all A's. You love your mother and you're homeschooled. Right? You're not going to touch that, are you? I will. Okay, but anyway. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You've got to be in the Bible. You've got to be committed to the Bible. You're not going to have any kind of Christian life unless you're committed to the word of God. When you get committed to the word of God, you'll start growing your faith. And as you grow your faith, you will find it easier. It's still going to be hard, but easier to fight the flesh and the devil and the world. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let the devil know you mean business. Let the devil know you're going to start reading the Bible. You can take a few minutes every day and read the Bible. Read God's word. Be committed. Look at that verse again. How powerful is the Bible? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Is it cold? Okay. Open it, because you've been running with it. Don't get all over the chapel, man. All right. That's five. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yep, you're welcome. By the way, that was a great supper tonight, brother. That was a great supper. If I had a college, I'd give you an honorary doctor's degree. I might give you one anyway. You already have one, I'll give you another one. All right, I'll give you an RN degree. All right, now. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When you read the Bible, you get to see what you really are, who you really are. As you read the word of God, it shows you who you are. You see things in your life that you never saw before because this book has been written by God. If you believe that, say amen. When I was growing up, some of you heard this, but when I was growing up, we used to go down to the Thread Creek. Down to the Thread Creek in the spring of the year, the suckers would run. Okay? How many know what suckers are? They're fish. Okay, the suckers, the fish. And they're slimy fish. And we go down there and we had our bows with reels on them. Okay? And so we would sharpen up these, arrows, and then we'd shoot these suckers. Well, every once in a while, along with a sucker would come a pike. Yeah. Well, pike, that was like a game fish. That was like a trophy fish. That was like something, if your mom would let you, you'd want to, you know, kill it and then stuff it and stick it on your wall. But your mom would never let you do that because you really were never involved in taxidermy and you it would just start stinking after a few weeks. But anyway, I'm the oldest of six children. I have three brothers that are pastors, one sister married to a pastor, one sister who's in heaven. But my brother Gary was down there a little ways as we're looking at Thread Creek flowing fast in the spring of the year. Ice is coming off. I mean, it's cool. And then right down from him is Dave Barkman. And so I'm first to shoot, and I've got my bow and arrow ready. And I said, oh, there's a pike! And I shot. And when I shot, I missed. I hardly ever miss, but I missed this time. So I'm pulling my arrow back in. Because how many have ever seen a bow with a reel and an arrow on it? Okay, it's got a string on it. It's, you know, to the arrow. And then my brother Gary, he's over here. And he sees the same fish, and he shoots, and he misses. Well, during the whole time, Dave has his bow pulled back as far as he could. So far that he was like quivering. Get it, quivering? Quivering. Quivering. And he has it pulled back so far it's on the other side of the bow. And so when he lets go, it goes through his hand. Oh, yeah. Not a pretty sight. My brother Gary, who, whenever he would see blood, fainted dead away, started going, oh. And I'm over there, and Dave holds his hand up over here. Wow, Dave, that's neat. I've seen the kind that you put over your head, you know. I've never seen the kind you have on your hand like that. Wow. That's cool. Let me help you. Every time I would pull on it this way, I started pulling. And I thought, oh, the feathers would go through. That'd be bad. You know, pull through the hand and the feathers. And I started pulling the other way, but there's little barbs on the arrow. And so I said, Dave, I'll run and tell your dad. So I'm running down the road, and I'm running, and my brother's there, and he's fainting, and I'm running down the road, and I go to the door and knock on the door, and Mrs. Barkman comes to the door. Mr. Barkman, can't talk to you. I need to talk to Mr. Barkman. Mr. Barkman! Yeah, Dave. No, Dave can't come out. He's grounded. Actually, Mr. Markman, if you look, he's the one running down the road. So anyway, Mr. Markman took him to the emergency room. They broke the arrow off. They pulled it out. And then the next day, riding the bus, we had a long bus ride. We were like the furthest away from the school. And next day on the bus, Dave was showing us all the neat hole in his hand. I mean, have you ever seen inside a hand before? It's like really cool. Have you? Yeah, it's like really cool. And so he would open it up and, wow, Dave, look at that. I've never seen that before. Look at how you could see in there. And then that day he went to school, you know, and the teacher said, all right, cover your paper. Dave covered his paper. Way home on the bus. Not exaggerating. Way home on the bus. So Dave did one of these numbers to gross all the girls out. That'll gross girls out every time. You're on a date with a girl you don't like, you have a hole in your hand, you stick your tongue in it. That'll gross them out. That'll be no one. Yeah. Telling you the truth now, the Word of God, when you get in the Bible will show you things about yourself you never knew before. You need to be committed to the Bible. Then committed to our battles. How many here know that you're in a battle with the devil? How many know you're in a battle with the devil? Like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, you're in a battle. You're in a battle. I mean, the devil wants to devour you. He wants to eat you up. You know, I've heard, you know, a dog will bite you, a bee will sting you, but a lion will devour you. I've heard missionaries tell me, they've come back from Africa, they've said that when you look at a pile of bones that a lion has gotten through with, that the bones are even broken up. It goes right in and eats up the marrow inside the bones. I mean, it just wants to devour you. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to devour you. But we're in a battle. We're in a battle with the flesh. We're in a battle with the world. We're in a warfare. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. We need to understand that even as Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, we're in a battle and we're in a warfare and we need to fight the good fight and we need to make sure that we continue to get our strength from God. We need that kind of commitment to God that we would know God's strength in our lives. God gives us power to win. You don't need to be defeated tonight. You don't need to always fall to the temptations of this world. You don't need to always fold. You don't always need to be the guy that loses his decision from camp first. You can stay. You can keep on keeping on. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 56 and 57. 1 Corinthians 15. Or 57, 58. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6:10. Look at this with me, if you would, please. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Sound like you're in a battle? It sure does. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Oh yeah, we're in a battle. We need to be committed to winning that battle, recognizing Jesus Christ has given us the victory. Committed to our Bibles, committed to our battling of the flesh and of the world and of the devil, and committed to our building. What do you mean building? Building your faith. Take your Bibles and turn to Jude, verse number 20. Jude, verse number 20. You got to start building when you're a teenager. You got to start building now. You can't say, well, I'm going to do that when I get old. I'm going to get serious about the things of God when I get old. No, you start doing it now, and you'll find God's blessing upon your life. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building for future rewards. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11. The Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Building up for future reward. Many times we think, well, I'll do that when I get a little older. You need to start building now. Recognizing you have an opportunity to build for God. Recognizing someday you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of your life. Jesus could come tonight. Amen. Jesus could come tomorrow. We don't live like Jesus is coming today or tomorrow. We live like we have plenty of time. None of us have a lease on life, for life is but a vapor. I was just talking to one of my assistants. He dropped me off at the airport, and he was telling me about the star football player of Merrill High School. Star football player. This guy had already, as a junior, been contacted by several colleges to play football. Last Thursday night, he got in a fight with his girlfriend, took his life. Young people, life is so short. Eternity is so certain. Build for future reward. Notice, secondly, not only the commitment, but the compromise. As we get back to Jehu, he looked good, but something was wrong with his heart. God knows your heart. We heard a great message last night about David and God looking at David's heart. You may look like a great Christian, but how's your heart? You may look like you're spiritual, but how about your heart? Your parents may see your goodness, but how about your heart? Your parents may think, well, I got a pretty good kid, but how about your heart? 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. It's all a matter of the heart. It's all a matter of the heart. You know, let me stop here and also say, many times we, even as adults, look at the young people that are most talented, the young people that have a way with words, the young people that can sing the best, so the young people that can play the piano the best, so the young people that seem to do best in passing out tracts. And many times we start judging young people as we look at their outward talent, as we see how educated they are, as we see how gifted they are. We sometimes disqualify some young people, and sometimes young people disqualify themselves because they don't think they're as talented as others. God sees the heart. If you'll yield your heart to God, God will use you. God can use each and every one of us if we'll give our hearts to Him, if you have a heart for God. God can augment within your life an amazing creation, an amazing work. A mother, wishing to encourage her young son's progress at the piano, bought tickets for the great Paderewski performance. Paderewski was the famous concert pianist and prime minister of Poland. When the night arrived, they found their seats near the front of the concert hall. And there, the young man eyed the giant, majestic Steinway that was sitting on the concert hall platform. Soon the mother found a friend to talk to. The boy slipped away unnoticed. When 8 o'clock arrived, the spotlights came on. The audience quieted, and only then did they notice that young boy sitting on the piano bench, innocently plunking out, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star." His mother gasped, but before she could retrieve her son, the master appeared on the stage and quickly surrounded the little boy. He whispered in his ears, "Don't quit. Keep playing. Don't quit. Keep playing." Leaning over, Paderewski reached around the boy and began filling in with the bass part. And then soon his right arm reached around the boy on the other side, and circling the child, he added another part. Together, the old master and the young boy held the crowd mesmerized with their latest rendition of "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star." God whispers in our ear, if you have a heart that's true to Him, don't quit. Don't quit. I can use you. Don't quit. I can use you for my glory. Don't quit. Compromise. He was compromising for selfish reasons. Why did he do it? To look good. Why did he do it? To be more popular. Why did he do it? He had divided loyalties and he compromised his wholehearted stance that he once had for God. Matthew 22 and verse number 37, the Bible says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." We should concentrate on what we can do for our God and show our love for God each and every day that we live for God. With all your heart. Are you real? Are you living for God with all your heart? Or are you Jehu-ing it? You're looking good on Sunday for Pastor Matt. You're looking good on Wednesday for Pastor Tice. Are you real? God deserves a wholehearted commitment by each of us. Then I'd like to close with the consequences. In those days, the Lord began to cut Israel short. The consequences were sad. So we read in 2 Kings 8:12, it came true. It affected Jehu's faith, verse 31, his fortune. There was recession. There was a downfall. Fame. His name lost its claim to fame. His family, four generations, God lifted the blessing from Jehu. His future. Basically, his rewards were gone. I read that Jehu is mentioned on the ancient stone monument called the Black Obelisk, inscribed by an Assyrian. Foreign rulers often would record their military campaigns on stone monuments for everyone to see. Jehu is pictured on this stone monument, kneeling before the Assyrian king, Shalmaneser III, in a gesture of submission. What a shame to be known as a compromiser instead of committed servant to God. He gave lip service to God while permitting the worship of golden calves. Check the conditions of your heart toward God. See, I could never do that. We're all capable of letting our God down if we become indifferent because of our pride, our position, our popularity. Young people have a rough time. They want to be accepted. Everybody wants to be accepted. Our key focus should be to be accepted by God, to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Don't be a Jehu. Be committed to God. Father, I thank you for this time you've given us tonight. I thank you, Father, for your word and the power of it. I pray, Heavenly Father, this evening that we would examine our hearts. Make sure that we're not compromising our commitment because of pride or position or popularity. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would show true zeal for you, not be spasmodic, but be involved in serving, recognizing best words we can ever hear would be, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'd speak to our hearts and work in our lives. And Father, I pray for some good young people that have given up some spirituality because of popularity, have given up some spirituality because of compromise, compromised themselves with sin. I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight, work in our midst that we might be more committed and consecrated Christians to the praise of your glory. Help us not to fall like Jehu, but to stand, be steadfast and unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many can say with the uplifted hand, "Pastor Jackson, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I'm on my way to heaven. If I were to die tonight, I'd know I'd go to heaven. No doubt about it, I'm saved on my way to heaven." Would you slip your hand up if you could say that? You may put your hands down. You'd say tonight, Pastor, I'm just not sure. Remember me in prayer. I need Christ as my Savior. Pray for me. Anyone like that here tonight? Could I pray for you? No one's looking around. I'd like to pray for you. Could I pray for you? Would you slip your hand up? Would you let me pray for you? As a Christian tonight, you'd say, you know, Pastor Jackson, as I look at my life, I can see how I've let my God down. I'm not committed like I should be committed to my Bible. I'm not committed like I should be committed to battling the devil and the flesh and the world. Not committed like I should be committed in building my faith and building for future reward. Pastor, I'd like you to remember me in prayer. As I look at my life tonight, I see compromise. I've compromised because I've wanted it, because of pride, because of position, because of popularity. By the grace of God, I want to do right by my God. I want to live for my God with my whole heart again. And I'd like you to remember me in prayer. God would use me as I give him my whole heart again. Pray for me. Would you slip your hands up in the quietness of the moment? My heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one's looking around. With my whole heart. With my whole heart. Just hold them up. Hold them up. Slip them up and slip them down. Hold them up. Slip them up and slip them down. God bless you. Hold them up. Slip them up and slip them down. Don't be ashamed to do right by your God. Others, pray for me. Pray for me. Amen. Others, pray for me. You know, I saw that guy. He read the Bible. He read 13 verses in 1 minute. Before I came to camp, I wasn't doing that. I need to be in my Bible. I need to be more committed in my Bible, more committed to the battling of the devil. I let the devil beat me up all the time. I live a defeated Christian life. By the grace of God, I want God to reward me someday. I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Remember me in prayer. God bless you. Others, pray for me. God bless you. Amen. 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 You know, I want to be popular. I want to be popular so much I let my God down. Pray for me. Remember me in prayer. Let's quietly stand to our feet while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God is speaking to your heart tonight. Perhaps he spoke to your heart during this day. One of the other services. Invite you to come pray here at the altar. If you need some special help, just ask one of the counselors to pray with you. Would you slip out right now in the quietness of the moment while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? As young people, you make decisions tonight. You come right now. Slip right out right now. Pray here at the altar. Just kneel here at the altar, near here at the front row. Ask God to help you. Whatever area. Just come. Come now. Quietness of the moment. God's speaking to your heart. You come. You don't want to be a Jehu anymore. You want to come. Come even now. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I'm going to pray. Invitation's still open. You can come. Some of you raise your hand. Throughout this day, God's been working on you and working in your heart. Perhaps it's a matter of character. Perhaps it's a matter of your anger. But you know you want to get taken care of. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray you'd be with this invitation. I pray for these young people that are stepping out, amen, coming forward, amen, to do right. I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight that we'd see some real commitment. Father, we would see young people standing up for you, living for you, wholeheartedly living their lives for you. A blessing this time of invitation as the piano plays a verse or two of an invitational song. We invite you to come. Come on. Come on. Don't just stand there. Do what's right. Wholeheartedly get involved.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God?
That's right. Come on. God's speaking to your heart. You come.
Countest thou
these counselors, these youth pastors, these pastors, we want to help you.
Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sun.
pray that we would learn from the example of Jehu, a man, Lord, who had so much going for him, had a zeal and a burden to live for you. But, Father, he allowed compromise to come into his life. He stopped building it in his life. Lord, I believe there's many Christian young people in here tonight who are dealing with the decision of to compromise or to live for you. Father, I pray that you would speak to them. I pray that you would break hearts. Father, inspire folks with the need of living their lives in complete obedience to your word. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Jackson. That was good tonight. I praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for many good decisions. Tonight, after the service, I'll ask you when you're dismissed, if you would please quietly head out of here and head down the hill. When you go down there, all the stores and shops will be open. Enjoy the time together. About 9:30, we will meet on the basketball court for our spotlight activity tonight. Until then, please, out of respect to those who are making decisions, please be quiet as you exit the auditorium. You are dismissed.
Good, buddy. Amen. I'll give her a slam.